From North State Public Radio, I'm Jamie Jiang with your headlines for Wednesday, May 17th. Defensible space inspections began taking place in Butte County's Upper Ridge and in other parts of the North State this month. CAL FIRE's Defensible Space Program regularly sends firefighters to homes to see if there's more that residents can do to make properties wildfire safe and keep them in line with the state's building codes. Susan Beeler, Defensible Space Inspector for CAL FIRE's Butte County Unit, spoke earlier this month at a meeting of the Upper Ridge Community Council in Megalia. She said Butte County has some requirements that are more stringent than the rest of the state.
We were more proactive because we know that there's that need.
She said of the 1,500 properties inspected last year on the Upper Ridge, 95% did not comply with Zone Zero regulations. That's a standard requirement in effect in Butte County, which requires the area 0 to 5 feet away from the outside of your house to be free of vegetation.
So that's the most critical area of your property during fire season. That's where embers are going to ignite and ignite the home.
Homeowners will receive a letter in the mail if CAL FIRE inspectors plan on making a visit to their property. Turning to other North State news, California officials plan to build a channel off the Yuba River so threatened species of fish can get around a dam. The federal government first built the Daguerre Point Dam in 1906 near Marysville. The dam stopped the flow of debris left over from hydraulic mining during the gold rush, but it prevents some threatened species of fish from reaching the place where they lay eggs, including spring run Chinook salmon, steelhead trout, and green sturgeon. Governor Gavin Newsom visited Yuba County yesterday to announce the project. Newsom said the project will cost $60 million and take a few years to build. Some environmental groups say a better plan would be to remove the dam entirely. And from the CAP Radio newsroom, Californians in their 20s and 30s own homes at half the rate as their peers outside the state, according to a new study. CAP Radio's Chris Nichols has that story.
Connor Finney is 29. He's in a committed relationship, has a good job, and says he's ready to buy a home and start a family. But after being outbid for home after home in Sacramento last year, and then watching interest rates drive up costs even further, Finney says his dream of home ownership will have to wait.
I think a lot of people my age have, you know, experienced a sort of arrested development.
This wasn't always the case. In 1980, nearly 40% of Californians 25 to 35 owned a home. Now, that rate is just 15%, according to a UC Berkeley study. Finney, who works for the state and makes more than the area's median income, says there just aren't enough housing options in his price range. Researchers say that needs to change if his generation is going to buy homes in California.
If things do continue to, you know, spiral out of control, house price-wise, I think, you know, I would probably make some difficult choices and consider leaving the state entirely.
Finney says one way to change things, get involved and support more housing in your neighborhoods. In Sacramento, I'm Chris Nichols.
In other state news, the California State Assembly has passed a bill allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to be treated for opioid addiction without prior parental consent. The bill's author is San Francisco Democratic Assembly member Matt Haney. He says most kids can talk to their parents about getting off drugs.
But sadly, some of the most vulnerable teenagers are not able to have that conversation with their parents. Some are homeless. Some have parents themselves who are addicted. Some may actually be at fear that they will be kicked out of their home or have violence if they do talk to their parents about this.
His legislation allows doctors to enroll youth over the age of 16 in buprenorphine treatment without a parent signing off on it. Buprenorphine is a physician-supervised medication that reduces opioid withdrawal symptoms and has been recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics as a treatment for opioid addiction in youth. Let's return to environmental stories. In 2015, the Berryessa Snow Mountain region became a national monument. It spans hundreds of miles of hillsides and canyons, stretching from Napa to Mendocino counties. With that status came protections for the area's biologically diverse landscape. But one part of this large swath of land, nestled alongside the monument's center, was excluded. Environmental groups and tribes have pushed for its recognition so it can gain further protections, too. CAP Radio's Manola Sakaita visited the area to learn more.
I'm standing at the summit of a ridge known as Malakoyuk. That means Condor Ridge in Petlin. On a clear day from this viewpoint, which is about 3,000 feet high, you can see hundreds of miles around.
You can see the Sierras now because it's a little hazy. You can't see Shasta. But over here we have Snow Mountain and Goat Mountain.
That's Sandra Schubert. She's the executive director of the conservation nonprofit Tuolumne, and she's standing next to me. In the car ride up, she told me this area is known as a haven for biological diversity. Researchers and environmentalists like herself have long advocated for protections that would keep it safe.
The unique geology and the terrain and the environment is one reason it's such a biodiversity critical spot, and that's why there's so many rare plants.
She says plans for a wind turbine project in the area led to Malekluyuk getting excluded from the 2015 National Monument Declaration. But more recently, with those plans pushed to the side, environmental groups are hopeful it can gain that status soon. A bill moving through Congress would offer permanent protections for the area. Northern California Congressman John Garamendi is one of the legislators who introduced the bill in March.
There are creatures and plants that are in that area that have found no place else in the nation. And so we're going to expand the Snow Mountain National Monument to include this very unique part of California.
Nick Jensen is a botanist who toured Malekluyuk with me. He's also the conservation director for the California Native Plant Society and a longtime advocate for the area. As we drove around, he told me this place is home to 7% of California's native flora and more than 30 rare plants.
This is an area that our members and supporters have been visiting for, like, literally for decades and wanting to conserve. So my involvement was just, you know, carrying on that legacy.
But the area isn't just a scientific marvel. It's also deeply important to tribes in the area, like the Ochedihi Wintu Nation, who changed the name of the ridge from Walker Ridge to Malekluyuk last year. Leland Kinter is the tribe's treasurer. He told me the area we now know as a national monument was, for him, one big, beautiful backyard.
I remember riding in the back of pickup trucks going there, and at the time I didn't know what folks in the front were looking for, but they would be going to look for medicines and different plants and things. So some gathering in those areas before I knew where we were a lot of times on the dirt roads up there and in the valleys, you know.
As a kid, he says his elders told him about the connections the Ochedihi had to the land. At one point in time, young men in his tribe would run along the ridges of Malekluyuk to deliver messages.
Just sometimes you think, well, what a tremendous amount of shape you had to be in to deliver a message over the top of that ridge, you know, because they would run. They would run those ridges.
The bill's fate will likely be decided in the fall. If it passes, the Ochedihi would take part in managing the area. Kinter says part of that management could include the reintroduction of condors, which once lived in the area and are culturally significant to the tribe. He also says he'd like to provide more information for visitors.
I would like people to know that even though the landscape may look rough and hard, that there is a fragility to it. Sometimes it takes longer for these things to heal if they've been disturbed. And I think if people knew more about those things, that they would take more care.
If people know more about the land they visit, he says they can still admire its beauty while also respecting it. In Sacramento, I'm Manola Sakaita.
To see photos and learn more about the area, go to capradio.org. And those are your headlines for Wednesday, May 17th. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. And if you missed it, petitioners began gathering signatures yesterday for the recall of District 1 Supervisor Kevin Cry. The campaign may be aiming to put a recall vote on this November's ballot. You can hear that story in yesterday's headlines or at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Jamie Cheong.